The search for the missing Malaysia airliner has covered hundreds of thousands of miles of ocean, and the plane hasn't turned up so far. The search highlights a growing problem in the oceans, though, giant blobs of garbage. The Marine Debris Program at the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration tracks these gyres. Spokesperson Diana Parker joins us with more. Diana, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. So, first of all, tell us, what are these gyres? I mean, what do they look like?
Sure. So gyres are actually large-scale natural circular ocean spires. So they're basically just major currents that circle the ocean. And there are five major ocean-wide gyres in the North Atlantic, the South Atlantic, the North Pacific, the South Pacific, and the Indian Ocean. And within those gyres, we have these zones where garbage and other marine debris tend to accumulate. And there can be many of these zones within a gyre, and we know these informally as garbage patches.
And so how big are some of these garbage patches?
Well, it's hard to say. So, you know, we often hear the expression twice the size of Texas, and you know, when we hear that, they're talking about the most well-known of the gyres, and that's the North Pacific Garbage Patch, which is situated between California and Hawaii. And I can see why that expression captures people's imaginations. But what we know about these areas is that they don't really have any borders, and they're always moving and changing with the current. So it's really difficult to tell exactly how large they are at any given time.
And what garbage do you find there? I mean, is that where all of our plastic bags are ending up?
Sure. So the garbage patches are mostly made up of tiny microplastics that are just floating around in the water column. So think of it as a peppery soup. And so that doesn't mean that you won't come across larger items of debris, garbage, fishing gear, but for the most part, they're made up of these big swirling areas of microplastics.
So what is NOAA's interest in these gyre-borne blobs?
Sure. So the NOAA Marine Debris Program, we've been around since 2005, and one of our main focuses is on keeping these garbage patches from growing, and that's through prevention. So we do quite a bit of education and outreach work with groups around the country to, you know, make sure that folks know about the issue and can make the right choices with their own waste. And, you know, one less plastic bottle on the beach is one less plastic bottle that could end up in the garbage patch. We're also funding a number of research projects that looks at microplastics and how those plastics impact animals. So, for example, we know that birds and fish, some species of birds and fish, eat microplastics. And so we're looking at the impacts on them and the impacts of the chemicals in the plastics as well.
And this peppery soup, is there any way to get rid of it?
Well, so it's a great question, and we get asked that a lot. It's always important to remember that our program focuses on prevention first and making sure that, that these patches aren't growing. Just going out there and cleaning up miles and miles and miles of trash, you know, we think that prevention is definitely the way to go.
When you say, just as a point of clarification, microplastics, what does that mean? Like little tiny pieces?
Sure. So we define microplastics as pieces of plastic that are less than 5 millimeters in size, and those can come from two different sources. So plastics never fully biodegrade; they just break down over and over again until they can become microscopic. Microplastics are also things like the microbeads in your face wash or like pre-production pellets that are used to make plastic materials.
And do some of them fall out of ships and then end up in the ocean that way?
It's possible. I have heard of that happening.
Other than the clear environmental concerns that this poses, does it pose a problem when you're talking about things like tracking this airliner or other things in the ocean and transportation or anything like that?
Well, I don't have any information specifically on that issue, but you know, we did a significant amount of work with the tsunami debris coming over from Japan, and so for example, a lot of the debris that was washing up on the U.S. West Coast, you know, it was very hard to tell what was from Japan and what was just everyday normal litter.
We're speaking with Diana Parker. She's a communications specialist for the NOAA Marine Debris Program. I guess if it says made in China, who knows where it came from, because everybody's got that stuff. But does NOAA cooperate with other nations? Is there some sort of international effort involving NOAA for this?
We do. There's a lot of work on marine debris going on around the world. We work closely with the United Nations Environment Program on an initiative called the Global Partnership on Marine Litter. And so it's basically a coordinating forum for all of the global stakeholders dealing with this issue, working on prevention and management. And this group can come together and share strategies, focus on specific issues such as plastics or derelict fishing gear, exchange research, those kinds of activities.
So the fish can eat this, and so you can see where that could affect human health. Does the plastic, do these blobs in the gyres, do they ever get such a density that they can interfere with a ship?
Well, so as I mentioned, it is possible to sail through garbage patches and not see a thing, but that doesn't mean that you won't. So it can be a hazard to navigation if there's a large item that got stuck in the gyre. So shipping containers can, you know, fall off of ships and become a hazard to navigation. If a derelict net wraps around your propeller, that can cause some issues for you. So it can definitely impact vessels.
You've mentioned a couple times that you focus at NOAA on prevention, probably because it's the easiest thing to focus on. What has been the most effective prevention tool so far? Can you even tell?
Well, so we do have a program called Fishing for Energy, along with the National Fish and Wildlife Foundation, Covanta Energy, and Schnitzer Steel. And we provide fishermen a no-cost place to dispose of their old and unwanted fishing gear. And then Covanta, in turn, takes that and uses the fishing nets for energy. And so that has been a wildly successful program in helping to keep some of those derelict nets out of the ocean. We've also done a significant amount of work with groups like the Ocean Conservancy and the Rosalia Project, just getting out there and educating folks on how their choices impact the ocean. And so it's been a really successful program.
And just one final tech question. I mean, can you see these from space? How do you detect the outer limits of one when there's one encountered?
Right. So, again, these areas are mostly tiny microplastics swirling around in the water column, and we can't see them with satellite.
It's not like there's a green patch in the middle of the blue.
Right, right. As I mentioned earlier, there are garbage patches all over the world. The North Pacific garbage patches is probably the most well-studied, and so you know, there's been a number of research vessels that have gone out there and picked up samples. But again, it's hard to tell where the borders are.
All right. Diana Parker is a communications specialist for NOAA's Marine Debris Program. Thanks so much for that update.
Wonderful. Thank you.